Hey, Tommy, keep all of this in here forever. No context needed. Thank you. Because you're listening to the Spirit Hunters on the Greenlit Podcast Network. I won't do that to Tommy because it'd be mean.
Find out about our brethren and how to join our Discord group and support the show at greenlitpodcast.com and patreon.com/spiritunderpod, respectively.
Oh, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of The Spirit Hunters. This is Patrick.
Joe.
Megan.
After learning about Jiro's not-so-happy childhood and his rise to becoming the NGL Shadow Dawn, we watch how it all went to shit when the Chimera Ants attacked. While Poco and Ponzu, rip in peace, let me pour one out for my homies, didn't make it in one piece. Unfortunately, they did set out for one piece, and they're not the name of the treasure in the Grand Line.
I mean, technically, Ponzu made it out in one piece.
Wait, you mean Pokal? Yeah, Pokal made it out in... I mean, we don't know exactly what happened to Pokal, but Ponzu is for sure dead.
Honestly, we'll have to... We have to analyze the fecal matter to figure out how much pieces they're left in.
Oh, like in science class when you had, like, little owl pellets that you had to, like, pull apart and, like, take the little bones out?
Yeah, we have to do that. You guys remember that?
I think I had that demonstrated to me. I don't think I ever did it, but analyzing the fecal matter is my new podcast about looking over YouTube poops and situating them historically.
Fair enough. I mean, I once dissected a dog, but that's a different. That was weird.
Oh, we
that wasn't
cats.
Even for school.
Yeah, yeah. Just in my backyard.
That was last week. I just saw a dog, and I was like, "Huh." Yeah. Well,
I wasn't a child, and this wasn't science.
It's like, well, I don't got anything better to do on a Friday night.
Oh, okay. Just to clarify, none of us have ever done anything like that.
No, I dissected a cat, though. Like, we had to dissect cats when I was in elementary or high school. And the worst thing about this was that they kept the cats in the, like, classroom the whole year in the Arizona heat, right?
Oh,
so
you
these
mentioned
cats were
this,
sitting
yeah.
in, yeah, these cats were sitting in bags. Oh, they were dead. They had been dead. I didn't murder
I mean,
a cat.
Aren't they supposed to be doused in, like, formaldehyde or
yeah,
something to make sure
but,
they don't
when
do
you
that?
Sit formaldehyde-filled animal carcasses in a hot classroom for a whole year before you get to dissect them, not a fun smell. Not a good time. That's the Arizona heat.
Yeah, that's the name of our football slogan. Hotter than a dead cat, the Arizona heat.
Sitting in a high school classroom.
Exactly. That's our high school. Anyways, where was I? All right. So while Poco and Ponzu RIP didn't make it out in one piece, Gon and Kula met and fought their first Chimera Ant, just barely winning. Meanwhile, the ants learned about Nin nutrition, setting their sights on new prey. This week, Gon, Kula, and Kite face off against Yunji's team as the Chimera Ants get their own Nin 101 education. And we commit massive copyright infringement along the way. Or at least I do. You better get ready. It's me doing finger guns between Evangelion, Berserk, Daikon 4, and Initial D Season 2, Episode 2.
For those listening to the audio podcast, which is everyone.
Because we do not do
everyone.
A video podcast.
It's like, you have a video podcast. Get off my computer, please.
Yeah, Patrick has used OBS to just surround himself with anime from the 90s and GIFs and pictures.
You forgot to mention I'm right above Patrick doing the prayer thing. He's in church.
What?
Patrick in church is doing that.
You don't see him above my head?
Oh, I see. Yeah, sorry. He was harder to see because he's a lot smaller than the others.
He's between Buster Moon and Initial D Season 2, Episode 2.
And just to clarify, this is Patrick Starr.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it too. We'll both... I'm trying to... Let me see. Is it... this way? No, it's this way.
Patrick
no,
is orienting
is
himself towards... Patrick is orienting himself towards Mecca as he goes to pray.
I mean, isn't that what everyone should be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Evangelion, so I tend to orient myself towards Mecha regularly. Anyways.
Fair enough. Let's go. Let's go, Joe. Take us away with that intro, son.
Okay, so we're covering episode 82, Kite and Slots, which is Kaito no Surato. that works so much better in Japanese, even though they are both English words. Yeah, it sounds like Titan
sluts. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that works better in Japanese, even though they're English words. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I'm just worried, like, who is the sluts that are being referenced?
Wow. All right.
Okay.
Anyways,
Patrick, it's actually Joe. Joe is the slot that's being referenced. There you go. Congratulations. All right.
Yeah. You know, I heard a lot of bad Squid Games takes where people were just looking into the addictive nature of gambling. And so I think that was a lot of slot shaming going on. But anyways, this episode was originally released in Japan on June 2nd, 2013. And the equivalent manga chapters are 192, 193, and 194, which were released in Japan on October 25th, 2003.
That's a good year, 2013.
Oh, wait, yeah, these are about 10 years apart, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. I got my first actual job, like an actual job thing. And I got a car, and I stopped being sad.
You just stopped being sad?
Yeah.
It's all about willpower, baby.
It's 100% the way to stop being depressed is just
willpower. We're coming out against therapy today.
I mean, if you need to go to depression, I'm not saying I had depression. I'm just saying I was sad and then I wasn't sad.
We are ATMFs. We're anti-therapy motherfuckers.
I think I prefer being ATHF.
I'm also an ATHF, if you will.
What's an ATHF?
That's an Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Number one, the hood, G.
Anyways, Megan, could you please tell us what happened in episode 82, Kaiden Slots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're talking about this, but I just realized there's like a quick picture, like a random still image of something that doesn't appear later in the show before each episode. And this time it's a picture of Kaiden, the crazy slots man, just like chilling, hanging out. Kind of like how in manga they do that, where they give you like a little extra piece of art, right? Before the chapter. I guess they're doing that now for this instead of Hunterpedia. I'm not 100% sure. But we enter a cliff with peculiar weird openings in the search of the Chimera ant nest with Kite, Killua, and Gon. It turns out to be a secret NGL militia hotspot where guns and drugs are manufactured in secret. There's a pill called the DD for the mainland, which is nuts because, on the front, they're all like conservationists. So like, they're like, protect the planet, like don't carbon footprint bad. I don't know what Pat's doing right now, but
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ignore him.
Ignore. I can't. So I don't know if they ever go back into how like this DD pill thing. Like they felt like they created a lot of a world that they never dive into. So that's fun.
I feel they were planning on it and never got back to it because, like, I think I mentioned it last episode, but they said the words like, yes, this will come back later, and it never not in the episode, they said in the manga, they're like, this will be important later, and they've never touched on it since, and it's been like more than like 18 years now.
Yeah, almost 20 years later.
Probably touch on that. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I really hope they just randomly touch on it. Like, but like, remember that thing 20 years ago? I got you.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think all of us have watched it like more than like 3 times at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, at least in this chat. And I just think that I like how they built it up and it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna do this awesome thing. This character's like, what?
What? Excuse me?
Stuff doesn't get resolved for things.
Yeah, with Gyro, like in the manga, it's just straight up like, Gyro will see Gon later and never.
Oh, it's like whenever like Netflix has a new movie coming or like a new season, it's like The Witcher will return in October.
And then it never does.
It never does.
Well, you know what? It could be the opposite. I know I've referenced this a trillion times on the show, but in Black Dynamite, when he's fighting this one dude, and then he's fighting a dude in, I forget if it's Vietnam or China, but the reason I'm having a hard time remembering is because they say both Vietnam or China and pretend it's the same place the whole time as a joke. But then this guy gets like his arm cut off by a boomerang, and then he's like, I threw that shit before I came in the room. That's the plan. Like, the boomerang is going to come one day, and Gon and Gyro are going to hang out.
They just have Gon and Gyro face to face, and a boomerang just kind of flies past them.
Yep. No explanation.
No explanation whatsoever. That's the thing.
It makes sense to me.
But Kite, I hate this part, but Kite can sense something about 45 meters coming down from the center tunnel. There's 3 tunnels, and 2 more two more things that are coming through on either side. This is literally the worst part. I can't. Every time I watch this scene, I just don't.
Megan wrote what she's saying right now. She literally has a note that says, "This is the worst part. I just can't."
I had to write this down. I don't want to explain this at all. but it's two chimera ants with two NG. It's one chimera ant who looks. He's like a centaur snake man whose name is Yunju. With two, and I'm assuming NGL leaders or NGL grunts, on leashes, like dogs, and they're walking around on their elbows and knees, butt ass naked. Like the way they're drawn is like emaciated. Like they look emaciated. They look obviously look terrified. Like it's like a weird kink gone wrong. Like I don't.
Or like, is it a weird kink gone right?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you gotta be. I thought we were an anti kink shame podcast.
What happened there? Murder.
Yeah.
What?
This is straight.
Oh yeah. I guess when it comes to snuff, I meant before that whole murder thing.
Yeah. But
if it was just that, and there was evidence that it was voluntary,
right?
I'd be okay.
They actually enjoyed this. They don't. One of the mans makes a hago face, as Pat likes to point out.
Oh, my God.
At one point, I hate that. I hate that that was the thing, but it's the thing.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's definitely torture. Just to clarify, it's not kinky. It's just a torture situation. It's just.
Yeah.
They're also naked because it's a torture situation.
Yeah,
I was thinking about it. Imagine if they went all the way through and they role played all up to their deaths, and they even one role play
them to
dying.
Sleep.
No, they all enjoyed it even to the point where they died. It's like okay.
All right, yeah. Rammstein, I have a new song for you to write.
I mean, they already did a concert with that where they have people on their hands and knees going across the stage like that.
All right, so if you guys want to see a dramatic reenactment, go to Rammstein concert.
Rammstein Birkdash Live 2012. I saw it live. It was pretty cool.
I'm sure. I feel like these are two very different things, right? One's basically very different. The point is to show the inhumanity of the ants, right? At this point, I think, at least I hope, right? Because it comes out of fucking left field. I feel like nothing to this point has been this deranged. I think.
I feel it's to show their cruelty. I'm going to stop short of saying their inhumanity because it is a parody of the relationship humans have with animals.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, their cruelty. That's a good way to put it. I mean, and it's parodied again when he calls them Spot. In the English dub, he calls them Spot and Rover, which are two very common dog names here in the States. I want to say, I can't remember, but I know the two common dog names in Japan, I think it's, or not dog, Mikens, Miken. Or mittens is for kittens, right? And I don't remember what's for dogs. But I'm wondering if that's the names he gave them.
He just calls them Wanchan.
Wanchan?
No, I'm guessing. That'd be very funny to me.
Actually, yeah, what does he call them? I have no idea. Netflix took out, so this is just a minor pet peeve, but Netflix took out the English subtitles for the original Japanese when watching the English dub. So I used to just watch the English dub, and then I got to watch the subtitles, the translation of the Japanese, right? But now they only have closed captioned English.
Yeah, I thought that I was the only one who noticed this, and I'm just I feel crazy because this is this is some Mandela effect shit where I'm I swear there was a way to watch the actual good subs before while watching English.
Right.
They disabled that, probably partially based on the controversy around Squid Game shit.
Probably. What do you
mean controversy around the Squid Game shit?
There was a big controversy about how bad their translation is, not just in the closed captions, which of course they'd be bad because they're based off the dubs, but their subs that are not based off closed captions are actually also very inaccurate according to Korean speakers.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I'm going to be honest. I honestly got annoyed when I put on the closed. I know this is going to sound weird, but I like watching closed captions when I watch dubs for shows. And I actually got annoyed when I put on closed captions for Hunter and it was the Japanese dub.
Oh, I mean, that's not that weird. I mean, a lot of people do that because, some people, they're better at, reading than listening. And, it just really depends on personal preference. It's just more taking away the option is shitty.
Yeah, that is kind of... So, you don't have an... it's still there, though. You can watch the English sub version of that with the subtitles, or they removed the Japanese subs altogether, so you only watch closed captions when you're watching the sub.
Question, Megan?
Wait, sorry. What were you saying? Sorry.
He's saying, did they remove the ability to watch the good subs even when watching in Japanese, or is that still there?
That's a great question, because when I take notes, I don't know Japanese well enough to like watch the Japanese version. So that's what I used to do is that I don't know. I was wondering that, too. If I changed the language to Japanese, would I then be able to get the Japanese translation?
I'm
going to
find out right now.
Yeah. I was about to check it, too, but I think I'm just going to add another video to this webcam. I think it's about time.
Are
it's
you serious time. Right now?
I mean, I've been adding every like 5 minutes.
Yeah, what's that?
You know that episode of Aqua Teen with the wizard?
Oh, yeah.
That's Seth happening McFarlane. To Patrick right now, where pop-ups are coming to the real world.
No.
Oh, Iron Giant?
No, give it like 5 seconds.
I don't know why I thought it was the Iron Giant. That has nothing to do.
Oh my god, guys. I think they might have done... Oh no, they did. Oh my god, they did.
Wait,
they removed the good Japanese subtitles. Like, I just switched to Japanese language.
No.
You cannot get the good subtitles anymore. Hey, newsflash for everyone. Netflix fucked up.
They really
this big middle
up.
Finger
That's
to Netflix.
Okay.
Sorry. I need to, like, position my middle fingers because it's blocked by... Deep Space Nine, Evangelion, Lane, and I think that's it. Oh, and Berserk. So.
Oh, here's the part of... never mind. I was going to acknowledge something you were watching, but like since they can't see it, fuck that. Anyways.
What was the Berserk thing?
I was going to say, this is the part where he's being raised by his abusive father, Childish Gambino.
I was wondering why that child was using a sword.
I've never seen Berserk, so this is... double confusing to
me. The guy's name is just Gambino.
We're also at EOE where Misato makes out with Shinji. Gives him the big boy kiss.
All right. Let's continue.
Is that Star Trek in the court? Okay, you know what?
Yeah, it's Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool, cool. so Netflix is really fucking up here because... just, you know, the subs versus dub argument, I feel like has evolved over the years, right? Where like back in the day, I think at least I was one of those like assholes who's like, dubs over subs any day. Like, why would you even watch a dub? And now as I've gotten older,
yeah, no, I think you said the opposite of what you meant.
Yeah, wait. Subs over dubs.
Okay,
oh, yeah. Subs
okay.
over dubs. Yeah. When I was younger, I'd be like, subs. And I still appreciate, I think I still like the subtitled version just because it's in its like original state, right? But I get lazy and like I have to multitask and I don't have a full comprehension of Japanese, so I can't watch it raw.
Same.
But like the subtitles, the Japanese subtitles versus of English, like the English subtitles of the Japanese language helps you better understand the context of some shows or Korean or whatever language it's in versus the closed caption, which is the pure interpretation of like the spoken, like the script, right? Like it's
and the lip movements.
Yeah. So like it sometimes doesn't match up. So bummer. cool. But anyway. So back to the episode. Kai we're still here. We're on the third note.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Before we started recording, Christ. I said something to the effect of like, I'm gonna try to distract less and I have failed at that miserably, but let's keep going.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not helping the situation at all. Like
Are you watching Batman the Animated Series?
Yeah, that's what it was.
I mean,
Batman.
I mean I add it since
that's
then
what it was. Because isn't Batman the Animated Series related to Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was trying to explain to Tommy, I'm like, what was the series before Batman Beyond where Batman was like big and bulky? He's like a dad like thing. And Tommy's like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know. There was a series before Batman Beyond that wasn't Batman Beyond. And it's Batman.
The animated series.
Okay, cool.
First one. But yeah, since then I added Batman Animated Series, Interstellar 555. And I think that's it. I might add something later. I don't know.
You know what, Patrick?
How about
we just fucking go for it and just start an instance of MAME and start playing fucking Metal Slug in the corner too, just as a fun joke.
You know what? That's a good idea. Why don't I start get that?
Don't
started.
Do that because then you'll be distracted. Okay, let's continue.
We're so off the rails without Hannah and Hera and Sandra.
Hera and Sarah.
Hera, famous, Hera. Famous goddess.
Hera, the
Man,
famous goddess. Without
what
her
the
guidance,
fuck is
we
going
don't.
On this
Hannah
podcast.
And Sarah. Well, happy birthday, Hannah and Sarah.
Yeah, happy birthday, Hannah and Sarah.
Love you guys. Happy
love you guys.
Birthday.
They're not here today to keep us on track because they're celebrating their birthday as they should.
Yeah.
So. Happy birthday, guys.
Happy birthday. Hope you guys have a great birthday. Better
right.
than whatever's going on in this situation.
So, note number three after about 45 minutes on this cast.
What is even going on right now?
We don't know. We have no idea.
This is the worst.
It's the worst. This is such a mess. This is worse than our drunk episodes, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stop acknowledging it. Let's go.
All right. Kite is cool. He's like the real tactician. So he stops the kids from running towards Yunju because they got pissed, right? They're just seeing a dude get stomped out for his life. Since there are two more enemies in the shadows, so Kite was like, hey, look, like I warned you about these guys in the shadows. You're not listening. Chill. And then when Yunju stomps out the one named Rover.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Rover.
Rover.
Gon looks away because it's just so brutal.
Red Rover, send the bodies right over.
Huh?
Red Rover, send the bodies right over.
Please. What's left of them anyway? But Kite tries to prevent Gon from looking away because kind of like Jon Snow. You know, like the Game of Thrones thing. Tries to prevent him looking away because if Gon looks away, he might not be able to see a projectile if they shoot something. So kind of just like be on your guard at all times vibes. Like definitely Kite's their teacher at this point. So Killua takes on the booby mosquito ant who has COVID positive, and Gon takes on
COVID positive.
Gon takes on the human like centipede or millipede. Me and Tommy couldn't figure out if it's centipede or millipede. Or if it's even a peed. But pedo man.
It's impeding their progress.
And Kite instructs them to fight to kill.
I've never thought about the phrase impede, and I wonder if it is related to the word for foot, but continue.
Oh, many peds?
No, like just continue. I'm going to look this up.
Yeah. Joe, the etymologist, we'll look at this up. Killua comments that it's a phagogenesis, right? Sort of, I think. But like they were always violent before becoming like basically sentient. But consuming malicious humans has made them more evil. So by consuming like the NGL underground humans, these ants have become more violent. And I couldn't understand if it was they ate NGL humans who were bad. So they therefore they became eviler than they usually are, right?
I think it's feeding them to the queen who gave birth to new ones who were worse.
That's what I thought too, or that's what Tommy thought, because he's like, that's how phagogenesis actually works, right?
Yeah. Well, in this universe where phagogenesis exists, yes.
Oh, where this, yeah. This universe where phagogenesis exists. But I was assuming that like they were eating the, I don't know. Anyway, but that makes sense. The centipede millipede guy, the pedo. I'm going to call him pedo. Pedo.
Uncle pedo, my
favorite. The pedo ant. The pedo ant throwing the unblockable thousand hand fists. Gon dodges and punches him straight through the spine, but the ant blocks. Gon doesn't hesitate and starts throwing his special move. Killua is also taking the instruction to heart by Kite. He is throwing his snake arm whips when the mosquito ant decides to produce a cone-like stinger from beyond her mask or behind her mask. Killua dodges only to be struck by her quote-unquote real tail stinger, indicates there's poison there. But this bugged Tommy. Since mosquitoes don't have poison, they have a compound that stops blood coagulation.
So this actually fits with ants because ants, as part of Hymenoptera, have tail stingers. The way ants fight, I mentioned this when we were talking about ants last episode, but basically ants form lacerations and then inject either a dissolving toxin or like an irritant, depending on what species they are.
Okay, cool. That makes sense.
Interesting.
So less mosquito, more ant, but she, like the subtitles
poses
indicate
as
her,
an ant. Yeah. She poses a mosquito, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So mosquito ant looks away and then the screen turns upside down. This is the second time they did this, right?
That does sound familiar. I'm trying to remember when did they last do this, because this does feel like Sankilo has done.
I feel like this is in the ant arc.
Is it? Did they do this here, or are we thinking of the time where like a Jonas is just like, hey, where's my heart?
No, there's that. But then there was also one of the kills kind of recently where like they flip the perspective. Oh, I think their head gets cut off.
Cutting off that dude's head. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a one guy. Yeah. Was it Ponzu's group?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So his head spun on the Z axis. This head spins on the X axis.
Exactly. There's an axis difference. The axis makes all the difference in the world.
I don't remember which pitch, roll, or yaw that is, but let's go.
I think it's the Z axis. Anyways, yeah, you can.
Okay.
Changes.
So depending on the XY axis, this is the first time it's done it on the Y axis or the X? I can't remember.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, it's an axis. The axis of evil is what we'll refer to.
I thought this was just a really cool, this is kind of a really badass camera technique, because she just looks away for a quick second and like, oh, look at my friend fighting. Or they're just charging up. It's just gone charging up his like power attack. And then the camera switches, it's upside down, and then you see that her head is still on her neck, but upside down. And then Killua doesn't just decapitate her, he just like swipes at her head and like the entire head goes bye-bye.
I just realized this kind of happened to Genbu.
Genbu? Which one's Genbu?
In Yu Hakusho. Hakusho.
Hakusho?
Yeah. Yeah, in Yu Hakusho.
Isn't Genbu that thing that they do in Squid Games?
No, that's being a Ganbu. Thank you for being a Ganbu. Anyways,
I got you. I get those two mixed up. Sorry.
I love the like TikToks or whatever, the little videos about the people redoing the English dub, like Ganbu, my friend. I don't know.
My bestie friend.
My homie.
The Squid Game shit posting group on Facebook is like something like Squid Game Ganbu posting.
I'll have to join that one.
Oh man!
I'll do it after I get done adding more source material to this video. I'm slowly adding more.
Your computer's gonna overheat. I swear.
I got a 3080. I'm good.
Okay, cool. That means things to me.
It does.
It's a very powerful GPU.
Okay.
I loaded up a Switch emulator in the corner too. So.
Are you fucking okay? Continue. God, continue.
There's too much going on here. Have you played? No. You know what? Never mind. So Killua.
It's Bayonetta. So just wanted to let you know.
Yeah. So the end screen turns upside down. After, you know, because Killua was like passed out on the floor or whatever, or looked to be passed out on the floor. Killua was immune to poison, which we've established already. But all poison, really, Killua? Like, there's not a new compound that comes along that you aren't immune to, but whatever, it's anime. And then twists her head around and decapitates, not just obliterates her head. Ramit is continuing to grow as he crawls the ant base. He's just like, real sick. He's just crawling around on the floor. We just cut to him real quick. Like, reminder, this rabbit bird man is still alive.
You know, I was curious. Do you think that Togashi purposely made every single ant a daddy in this show? Or is that just me?
Wait, you think all the ants are daddies?
Almost, yeah. I mean, look at the one guy with the friggin' the human people.
No, Ramit's a butterface. I'm going to put it out there.
I don't know. I don't know.
He's got them thick thighs, and then...
let's get a daddy discussion going on in our Facebook groups and discussions.
Yeah. Is Ramit a butterface?
Is he the daddy?
Butter Zaddies are us, the episode title.
Butter Zaddies.
Oh, no. Okay, but God is still charging up. This is like a real Dragon Ball Z moment, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, they get like the justification the same way that like when Gon first encounters Nen, right? Or like malicious Nen or like fighting Nen, right? Him and Killua are way too scared to like approach it, like, or go past it. So I guess that kind of makes sense, but then like they don't really, like, they halfway do it, right? But he's still charging up. He's charging up this whole time. Three fights are going on. And we're just standing there. But like, he's kind of overthinking. The Millicentipede is overthinking, running multiple simulations for Gon's next punch. They even do that, the little, like, what's that sound whenever they're doing thinking stuff? The little...
The sizzle?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
There's like a sound they play, like a music.
In Hunter x Hunter specifically? Yeah. Or in... Oh no, the song I was thinking of is definitely not the one.
Okay. It's like a calming chime thing. It's just like whenever they explain something, like, what if I go over here, and it goes
do.
Yeah.
Real quick. When I was watching this, I immediately thought of Kung Pao, the scene where he's like, well, I could jump in, but then I just leave my soft, squishy body exposed and get kicked in the nuts.
It's like, should have gone with option A.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, that actually reminds me of something.
Was it the next note?
Sure. If by next note you mean me adding another video source to this, yes.
Go, Megan.
I'm going. You know, my ADHD is like not having this like whole shebang right here. Like, it's over. I'm overloading before your computer will.
Probably. I think I'm going to cover up the ants for this one.
Okay, cool. Well, meanwhile, Kite is curious about what happened to the leader of the NGL, and Yunju expresses that he wants to take over the whole world, or like get his own kingdom or something like that. So Kite pulls out his crazy slots. It happens to be number 4, and he uses the shortest barrel, but like the longest right, like, handle on a rifle. I don't know gun terms, guys. I've shot a gun once.
Wait, what are you talking about? Like when he does what?
Well, his number four crazy slots, like the gun is like a 6-inch barrel, and then like the handle is like 25 feet long.
I think she's saying the butt's super long.
Oh, the butt's butt, super long. The butt is big. I guess you could say
that crazy slots is a thick ass.
Yeah. Thick ass clown.
Is crazy slot a daddy?
That's up to you to decide, Pat. Do you think crazy slots is a daddy?
You know, let's leave it to the user, to the listeners.
You guys
can tell us, do you think Crazy Slots is a daddy? Whoever comes up with the best reasoning will get toilet paper. We're bringing it back, baby. It's March 2020 again.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're bringing it back. No one ever did the one thing we requested, which I don't remember what it was.
None of us remember what it was.
No one remembers what it is, but I will still send you toilet paper. Yeah. That is a promise.
I think it was take a picture of a dead body with our name on it.
That was definitely not it. Please do not do that.
Stand by me. It's,
You need to send us a dead body with the spirit hunters in the photo. No, don't do that.
Hannah and Sarah, we need you back.
Hannah, Sarah, we miss you so much. Okay, but anyway, pulls out crazy slots, immediately kills Yunju with a shot into a head. It's Mr. Game & Watch, and I never thought about this. Or maybe
I did. God.
It's Mr. Game & Watch. It's 100% Mr. Game & Watch. And I had to explain it to Tommy because I guess he doesn't play bad characters on
Dude, I play Game & Watch on
that's
Smash.
That's my favorite character because it's just gambling. You're just gambling.
My favorite thing of playing that game is the one time I started a game, I just jumped towards my friend and just got a 9 and killed him instantly.
Yeah.
And he literally just threw the controller and left.
That's what I like Mr. Game & Watch, because I suck at the game, but sometimes I get kind of lucky. Anyway, so it is Mr. Game & Watch, and now I can't unthink that. But anyway.
Wait, Megan, mm-hmm. Megan. Can you do an impression of the speech the clown gives? And never mind. I was going to have us try to all remember what the speech was, but I think we'd all fuck it up.
Oh, wait.
It's like, open my mouth magnets. And there's how do they work?
Wait, what? Oh, like it's like a little poem, but he gives up halfway to rhyme it.
Yeah.
Like he rhymes it for like 3 seconds. He writes two words and he's like, never mind. This is just a regular speech now.
Yeah, basically. Okay.
It's a J on a bad day.
Oh, actually, wait, one thing that is relevant to this. I like how Kite keeps on saying, like, oh, he's so fucking annoying. And then Kite and Gon are just like, why did you make him that way?
Yeah.
And, like, why did you make him that way?
I feel that's, like, one of the conditions where he's like, it'll be stronger if I fucking hate him.
If I hate my thing.
Or maybe the condition is that he gambles, but he hates being a gambler, but he gambles anyways.
I feel that's it. Like, I honestly feel it's, like, part of the... what are they called? Conditions and promises, or what are they?
Yeah, what Kurapika does.
Yeah, I was about to say terms and conditions. I'm like, that's something different.
His terms and conditions are that.
You have to become a human centipede in order to use this Nen ability.
I mean,
like, couldn't he do this crazy slots thing without making him sentient? Like, didn't he have the opportunity to be like, but like, you don't have to talk to me about it.
maybe Kite was like, the more lonely. Pissed off I get, the more, like, the more I hate this, the more it's important to me. So like, yeah, all right.
Very, very fair.
Fair enough. I just want to let everyone know we're 1.5, we're 1.25 End of Evangelion times.
Okay, shut the fuck up. Let's go.
Anyway, Gon still charging up, by the way. Scillipede's trying to think he's gonna pull a punch. Gon just pulls a fast one and uses scissors and slices Pito. Pito is pretending he is dead, just like Killua. So he does the exact same move, except for this time Crazy Slots is shoots him in the head with his crazy slot. Or well, Kite shoots him in the head with his crazy slot. So then we cut to a Tiger Man who's named he names himself Haiga here, but then like sometimes the subtitles, even at this point in the like anime, call him Leol. It says like Leol says this, and you're just like, wait, man, we're not there yet. So spoiler, he eventually be called Leol.
Someone should have done a continuity error pass on the script.
Yeah. But a legit human girl, like, so it's Haiga, which is a Tiger Man. It's a human girl with a rabbit head, and this has always bugged me about her. She's just literally a human girl with like a hat. That's
I mean, half the later Chimera ants are kind of describable that way too, though.
Yeah, they're just like
they're humans with a hat.
Human with a hat on. Yeah, that's essentially it. And then the third guy, I think I realize why he like reminds me of a priest, because I think he's a praying mantis.
Oh, who are you talking about?
The priest dude. I don't know. Flutter, yeah.
Is Flutter? Let me look this up.
I don't know.
You might be right because they do kind of look like Zorak.
Yeah, I just I couldn't describe what he was looking like, but he reminded me of a priest. Brack. What are we thinking?
I was about to do a Brack impression, but I was, oh no, that's not Brack, that's Zorak.
Okay.
Oh, he does look a lot like a praying mantis. You might be right. Oh, or a dragonfly? No, he has the wrong types of eyes for a dragonfly. Okay, so he's probably a praying mantis at least partially.
Oh, but also probably. He flies, so dragonfly.
Maybe some combination thereof.
Yeah. But he reminds me of priest. I don't know why. I think it's just the vibe.
It's the hand thing.
It's the hand. Like, it's the hands are like Dylan. So Kite tells the boys can tell the boys Nen types from their most recent attacks, which is the first time they really saw his. He saw their abilities, I think. I don't actually think that's true, but he just says it. Just to remind us, like, what Gon and Killua are as far as Nen type goes. And then Ramet is shown covered in Nen aura, and then Peggy and Colt can just, like, see the Nen aura. So, you know.
There's no hiding it.
There's no hiding it. Yeah, so Ramet. The rabbit man has now
bam it down.
Now has Nen, so there's that.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode. I was gonna say, if you do not include the Hunter Hunter 99 filler, this is the first time that a non-human animal that is not a magical creature has been shown to have Nen.
Oh, interesting.
Because in the filler, they like accidentally gave a baby fox bear cub Nen.
Right. That is true. I do like how they brought that thing back, because I was like, I forgot that the whole Heaven's Arena arc happened, where the three guys got that's how they got Nen, was by surviving a Nen attack.
Getting punched real hard.
Yeah. So there's that. But yeah, that's the end of the episode.
Fair enough. That was a good episode, though. I liked it.
But, all right. You want to tell us about the manga notes?
Yeah, sure. Why don't I do that? All right. So the human dog deaths didn't seem as graphic as it was depicted as in the novel, the manga, which is kind of different. I don't know if maybe it was kind of different where the manga wasn't as graphic as the anime. I don't know why. Maybe it's just like the way they cut it.
I think they were saving it for later scenes in the manga.
Oh, fair enough. That's fair enough. Kite kills Yunji off screen, emphasizes how quick and powerful Kite is. So they don't show the entire fight of that at all. So they kind of, it's not even in the anime, right?
Yeah, it's not in the anime. Oh, wait, no. I mean, it is in the anime. It's not in the manga. That's, in the anime, they like give him like this like flowing motion that like literally doesn't look like anything else in the manga. So it is weird because like at that point I was like, no one's fought like this before. And then I like reread the manga and I'm like, oh, that's because no one's ever fought like that.
Yeah. And the body's hanging in the cave, and there's bodies hanging in the cave and stuff and all over the place. Which is not as much in the anime. It seems like the caves are pretty clean for what it was.
Yeah, that actually is interesting. Because like they saved the weirdest, most gruesome part for like two characters, and like, meh, if we had bodies littered around, like it'd be too obvious or too gruesome. Like, I don't know. Yeah, the manga is pretty, that's pretty bleak. Just having bodies like shrewd around, not even being eaten. But I guess it doesn't make sense because they save the bodies for food, even if it's not the queen's eating, right? Like, someone's going to eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Maybe they just got lazy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was sort of emphasizing, oh, we got the special humans now. We don't need these humans. But I don't know why they just don't eat them. I don't know. But anyways, one of the other things that I noticed that is that the scissors look a lot like certain Kuahara, his beam sword, if you know what I'm saying.
The spirit sword for anyone.
Yeah, spirit
doesn't
sword.
Remember Yu Hakusho.
Yeah. I actually did like how the centipede in both the anime and the manga was like, oh shit, where were they hiding that sword from? Like that physical, actual sword that exists in life.
Yeah.
I really think it's interesting that right after this, when Kite, you know, shoots the ant in the head or whatever, he says something to the effect of, just because someone is on their back and goes, doesn't mean they are dead.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. That reminds me of, oh, you just referenced fucking Kung Pao.
Kung Pao, goddamn. Yeah.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of funny, though, too. And then, and Flutter looks a lot different than he does in the anime compared to the manga. Like, the manga looks a, a bit different. I think it's more the eye shape. Like, it seems a bit differently laid out.
Looks like a toucan here.
Toucan Flutter. Well, wait. No, you got Toucan Sam. You got Tony the Tiger.
And I don't know any female cereal mascots.
We'll just say Twix. Yeah, Twix. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Tricks are for kids.
That one's a... Isn't the bunny a guy?
Yeah, but it's a rabbit.
Oh, okay. It looks like a rabbit. Yeah, yeah.
We should post that online and be like a food mascot. Mascots in a nutshell.
Nice. Serial killers.
That actually is a song by Green Jelly. It's a really good song. Nice. But anyways, I do like it. I do like the wording in this panel. Let's go. We're going to have a feast tonight. I think we should post that up as a image and be like, man, food mascots sure went hard in the early aughts.
Rabbit Girl actually has like big fluffy arm things that like make her look a little more like an ant by comparison.
I think those are you can excuse those as clothes, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
So one other thing, in the manga they kind of mention that the upper tier ants are actually working together more than the underlings, which is kind of the opposite of how you would think a chain of command would work.
I think, are they thinking like, oh, the ants on the higher tier are like more like intelligent, so that's why they're working together versus like the lower tier ants who don't have that same ability?
That's like how kind of like maybe humans sometimes work, but like I feel like that's not how ants work, and so I wonder if it's like a they're becoming more human thing.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's really about it for me. Do we want to go on to rate those deaths?
Rate those deaths.
So who do we have? We got Yunju. We have the two dogs. We have Booby Mosquito. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Mega Man X.
Booby
Robot
Mosquito,
Master.
My favorite.
Yeah. Booby Mosquito and Millicentipede. So let's start with the dogs.
Yeah, I thought those were pretty brutal. Probably 8 out of 10. Kind of.
Yeah, Megan, how do you feel about it?
I've been alluding to this fucking scene for I don't know the entire time we've done Hunter. I mean, I think I have to just give it a 9 because how much impacted me as far as like I think about the scene more often than I care about. Just like it makes me so uncomfortable. God, I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't know what it is. I just don't like it. I don't like it at all.
And that's why she's giving it a 9 out of 10.
That's why I'm giving it a 9 out of 10, because I hate this a lot.
Oh, it's like Kite with Crazy Slots, yeah. But I was going to say, I'm going to agree with Patrick. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I think it's very brutal. It shows a lot about like the current state of the ants. But, you know, we don't know who these dudes are, so that's why I'm not giving it higher. But I think 8 out of 10 is a good place.
That's fair.
8 out of 10, I can live with that. All right, what about Booby Mosquito?
I think I'd give that like a 6 or a 7. Like, I think it's still dope, right? I think it's real cool. Again, yeah, we don't have any established knowledge of this character. I think that the spinning on the X or Y axis, depending on whatever math is,
yeah,
is
I failed
really
math,
cool.
So I don't know.
But we already did it a couple times already. Like, this has happened already. So I think that kind of knocks it off. Like, the first time I saw this, I remember being like, oh, this is dope. But then now that I'm rewatching the series so many times, I realized, oh, like, we've done it not too long ago, a very similar vibe. So I think like a 6 or a 7. I think it's cool, but not new technically for the series.
Well, that works. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have to give it like a maybe an 8, since I like the way how the battle played out and how Kill was like did a flying spinning head takeoffer or neck snap.
Yeah. I feel similarly. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Like really good death, but like one, something kind of similar happened, and two, we don't know who this woman is. But I do like that it's kind of fan servicey, not in the gross way of like, oh, boobies. But more in the way of just like, hey, remember Killua's poison thing? It's back, baby.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It ain't gonna not be relevant soon.
Yeah. It's definitely for sure a kill that Killua would have done. Like, it makes 100% sense.
Killua, if you will.
Okay, so now Millicentipede.
Millicentipede, I thought it was pretty cool that he psyched him out with that sword. I liked how it basically is a callback to Kurohara's energy sword or spirit sword. And I just thought the kill was pretty funny, so probably 8 out of 10 for me as well.
Interesting. I feel pretty differently. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 because I think it makes sense and needed to be there, but it doesn't develop that much, and we don't know much about that dude.
I mean, it helps show that that Gon has more than just his fist, though, even though it pretty much isn't relevant past this part.
I think it was plot development, but like I don't have much beyond that, basically.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I agree with Pat that it's a good like use of like, or like it's an introduction, so that's kind of cool for like the scissors portion, because I don't think we've seen I can't remember if we've seen the scissors used in action yet.
I forget if this was manga only, but he cuts like a blade of grass.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Very cool. Very
nine
cool.
Out of 10.
I mean, very nine cool. out of 10 blade of grass death, 9 out of 10. But like, I like that it wasn't his fist. It was a little bit shocking, but yeah, I think it was the battle itself was super underdeveloped. Like it happened in maybe 30 seconds. It feels like, most of the time they're just standing there staring at each other. And he pulls the exact same move Killua did earlier. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not. So I think I'm going to give this closer to a 5 or 6 out of 10 too, just because, we don't know much about this guy. He survives about 3.5 seconds and he bites Killua's I'm pretending to be dead move. But like, he thinks he's like smart to thinking this up. Like, I think even in his brain power, he's like, I can just pretend I'm dead. Not like I can pretend I'm dead like that Killua kid who killed my friend.
Lol. Yeah, and I guess that brings us to Yunju. I'm going to give this a 4 out of 10 because I'm basing this mostly off the manga where it literally happens off screen and you just go back to Kaiden and he's like, what guy? There wasn't a dude here.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to give it a little lower just because of how much brutality that this dude possessed. Like, I need a little bit more justice, right? This is a quick, swift death and we needed it, right? But like also, and like it shows how not strong that guy really was, right? Like Kite killed him and like he barely blinked.
As you said that, I was like, interesting. I can see how that would make sense as a word, but.
But not really.
I think it'd be more of a blotter.
A blotter. Mm-hmm. Faster than a kite can blottered. But yeah, I think like 3 or 4. I'm like in between those two numbers just because, yeah, it was real quick. One headshot. I like a little bit more brutality in my brutality guys, right? Like if he's really that bad, I like to see a little bit more. I sound so fucked up, but like, you know what I mean? Like I need to see him in more pain, right? Like
you must love horror movies.
I fucking hate horror movies. I hate them so much.
Too easy though. Like, and that's why I think I'm the same with Manny. Like 2 out of 10. It's like he got off way too easy for what he did. Cause he like basically tortured people, stepped on them, treated them like garbage. And like, he didn't get his comeuppance. He's got a quick, swift death.
Right.
I thought I was going to be the low one here. Holy shit, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. He should.
We want more torture.
Honestly, they should have took him as their own pin, just carried him on throughout the show and had him on
a leash. That's a terrible idea. But I was going to say, like, you guys mentioned that it made it seem like Yunju was weak. I honestly took it as it made it seem like Kite is very strong.
Oh, no. I definitely got the vibe that it's because Kite was strong. He's weakened by comparison to Kite, but just Kite's insane like power levels, right?
Yeah.
It's just honestly, more of Oh, no, you're good.
I just want to say, honestly, I think he is weak because I think if Gon and Killua weren't in that battle, they would have easily killed him. Like I know that a lot of people think Kite's strong, but in all honesty, I think he's probably just slightly above Killua and Gon in terms of power.
I think Hunter Hunter makes a very distinct difference between power and the actual ability to win. And I think at this point in the series, while Gon and Killua are very powerful, I think they lack the tools necessary to win. While I think like Kite is like an expert operator. And so I think while they will catch up by the end of the series or maybe even surpass Kite, I do not think they're at his level like at all right now.
I don't know. Like, in all honesty, all the situation that they've been in my opinion, I think they could have got out of them by themselves. Like when Killua and Gon got attacked by the ants, literally just surprised. Killua could have probably easily taken that out. Later on next chapter, I think they could have done, like, even this battle, if Kite weren't there, I think Kilwangon would be able to handle all three of them.
Well, just because Kilwangon can handle all three of them doesn't mean that Kite's not significantly stronger and, like, more battle. Like, you can see that he's way, like, the kids are still kids, right? They want to rush into battle when they murdered that guy, right? And, like, Gon had to look away. I mean, like, we don't, spoiler warning for anybody who hasn't seen it, skip maybe like 10 seconds from now, but like we don't get
maybe
to
more
know
than that.
Maybe more than that, but like we don't get to know Kite for very long, right? So we establish here that like he's kind of their like teacher, and I think he's definitely I don't know if he'll be stronger than them forever if if he survives, but I do think he at this point he is like much more tactitious and much stronger than Gon and Killua, like as far as battle.
I would say
maybe
tactitious,
not raw strength, but like yeah. He's for sure like a better. I think he's a better fighter, and like you get to see it in the next episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah,
where like the others have to like one on one dudes in succession, and like it's specifically to train them up. While like Kite basically gave it to them because like he kills a bunch of them at once. And he's like, oh, this is kind of not worth my time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think even that it's as a matter of opportunity and a matter of what they could do Nen wise. It's but even then, it's just like a difference in Nen ability. Like, I mean, it's like saying you're gonna fight have a sword fight with guns. Of course, the gun guy is gonna win because he's more acquainted with the battle. You're not gonna like you can have the strongest knife guy, but. If versus someone with a gun, it's
wait,
kinda not.
I don't think we're disagreeing. I think me and Megan are saying that like Kite is way beyond them because of experience and tactics.
Yeah.
We're not saying
that Killua and Gon wouldn't be able to handle their own at this stage of their like development, but like Kite still needed in that sense of like guidance. And...
Yeah. In terms of strategy, I agree. In terms of power, I don't. 100%
well, we don't get
agree.
To. Well, actually, no. I have to argue. Kite's way more strong, way stronger than them in like so many different ways. Look at them later.
I don't know. Maybe I'll think about that for a while, but I don't think he's that much stronger than them on just like, you know, like the basis of like his literal strength
right.
and like, you know,
okay.
Nen.
Yeah, and
like
that's what
Nen
I was going
pool.
For. I'm sorry I wasn't clear enough, but I think on terms of tactics, I think he's way, because he has more experience in all honesty, but in terms of power, I definitely think they're almost, that Kite might be a bit stronger or on their same level. At least that's based on what I've seen in this area and what I've seen of Kite, but I'm not going to spoil anything else for the later show.
Yeah, I think this is supposed to be similar to the Tezgera thing where Tezgera, like up until they were about to fight Genthru, probably was a better fighter than them, but not because of like just power. Because he admitted that like he had like slacked on fundamentals, but like, you know, he was still like a very tactical guy, et cetera, and had like had way better like just like technique of like the ability to use Ryu to move Nen across his body to like deflect things very easily. But he did not have like as much like horsepower as them. And so I think while like we might have some minor disagreement on this, I think we're all mostly on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in all honesty, the strongest Nen user that's actually been on the show so far that we've seen through what he did, his ability is Genthru,
I disagree. I think
from what
I think
we've seen of their abilities so far, I mean, there is a character that I know that's stronger than all of them in the show that they've seen, but in terms of what the ability of what they could do in raw power, I think Genthru is probably the strongest we've seen in action.
I disagree. Maybe against the main characters, but like one we well maybe against Gon and Killua.
Oh yeah,
but one
I
we
forgot
saw
about.
Ugo.
Yeah, I guess against them. I guess the if you count the Phantom Troop, then yeah, I completely forgot about that. So yeah,
or Killua's family.
I was gonna say Big Daddy Zoldyck.
I definitely was. I guess in terms of what the threat for Killua and Gon, well, even then,
Hisoka.
Yeah.
Yeah, even then.
You think Genthru's stronger than Hisoka?
I think in terms of raw power output, like, I think Genthru might be stronger than Hisoka, but in terms of like tactics and stuff, like I think Hisoka basically gets by on like tripping other people up.
Exactly. Okay. Like same thing with strategy versus power. Like I think Killua is I think Genthru is stronger in raw power, but Hisoka would easily beat him, like not even breaking a sweat.
Even though he would cause Gendro to blow himself up.
Yeah, like if they were doing a like controlled like arm wrestling experiment where no one can cheat. Yeah, sure, Gendro, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm just laughing at the phrase controlled arm wrestling experiment.
It's kind of like I guess the closest thing is it's kind of like the in My Hero with the quirks, where All Might's quirks obviously the strongest one, but it doesn't mean he's the best. It's the best ability. He's the best fighter in that.
Yeah, and this is something that like Togashi's been doing since at least the chapter Black Saga of Yu Hakusho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yeah, that sounds good. That's actually
Sorry about that. I just thought that'd be a good discussion.
Yeah, it was a good discussion. Yeah. I got no issues with you having brought it up, and I'm glad we were able to resolve that. But yeah, you guys want to take it to the next episode? Or actually, real quick. And now a word from our compatriots and benefactors.
And we're back, folks, with another episode of Nasty Labs.
Nasty Labs.
It's a show hosted by me, Kinsey Burke, and my dumbass friend Mark.
Nasty Labs.
This twice-monthly show about game development, Japan life, being nice to people, and hey, maybe a few other things.
Nasty
Labs is a product of Chuhai Labs Brand Incorporated, and now available for 3 easy payments of $420.69, only on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Oh boy, I can't wait for Future History 101 today.
I hear Prof. Timesworth is going to teach us about World War VI.
Gather round, students. It is time to learn.
Podford University, where history and future are the same class. Available on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts.
Actually, do not edit this out, but I did look up impede. It comes from Latin impedire, which means to put feet in, like, which means to hold, like, feet, like, with manacles. So, like, it literally is related to feet. It is, like, the idea of, like, stopping your feet moving by getting them into something.
Okay. Ooh, so physically, to impede you is technically to stop your feet from moving.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
So, would you say that Togashi's a feet guy?
Link foot facts.
Not at all.
Foot facts.
No, was I off base on that one? A little bit?
Of all the things we've seen in the last episode, you think his kink is feet?
Yes.
It's dog dom.
Dog dom.
It's dog dom.
It's dog dom.
Anyways, episode 83, Inspiration to Evolve, Kanka Shite Shinka. Originally released in Japan on June 9th, 2013. Happy birthday, Satan. The equivalent manga chapters are 195 and 196, which were released in Japan on September 22nd, 2003.
I think someone edited this because there was another chapter that was on there that was very much further, and I think they probably thought it was a mistake. But there's one that's literally 100 chapters later.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's just at 95 and 196.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm saying I think someone must have gone through it earlier because like there's one that's like 298, and it wasn't an error.
Oh, wait, what? Why?
We'll get into it.
Also, I like how I look over at the Berserk footage and it's just Griffith naked half the time.
Welcome to Berserk.
Anyways, did you want to go to the manga notes of a show that doesn't have naked characters all the time?
Well, I'll be doing the anime notes, but yes.
Did I say manga notes? I meant anime.
Did you say proctologist? I meant pathologist. So quick shot of Kite's survey team member Spinner Clow holding up a little bug on her finger. A politician is talking to Netero, indicating he needs the hunters to eradicate the ants as quickly as possible, leaving the Hunter Association to take the blame. I'm going to spoil it now, but this scene is a flashback during the final battle in the manga.
Oh, do they ever address that this is a flashback in the anime?
No, they just say it's happening right now.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I thought that was just I thought that was during this event. I didn't know that was towards the end of it.
Yeah, so it does take place now, but in the manga, it's not revealed to have taken place now until the final battle.
Oh, okay. So they did the reverse thing they did with Kite, where like
exactly.
They foreshadowed. They're like, oh wait, maybe we should have like let people know shit was going down ahead of time.
I actually kind of like it in the way it's done in the manga. And okay. I get, so basically I feel like 2011, I've talked about this generally before, tries to smooth out the edges of the manga. And like, I understand why they do that because they want it to be cohesive, but I like the way it is in the manga. But I'm not saying the anime should do that. I think it is a good decision they did this in the anime, but I think the manga should not be edited to reflect the smoothness. Reflect the smoothness, my new band. Anyways, the survey team breaks down the hierarchy slash structure of the ant colony. The queen heads up the royal guard, who head up the squadron leaders, who are in charge of the officers, who are in charge of the soldier ants. After the king is born, the structure would be changed. The king would inherit the royal guard, and the squadron leaders will report directly to the queen. The queen would remain in the castle, occasionally giving birth to more kings. Okay, so this is something I didn't get when I first read the manga, but I didn't get that the idea is that the king is going to go out and impregnate someone and start, like, because, like, there's so many questions I have about how their biology works, but I'll just continue and we can talk about it after this. I finish this note. But the kings would then breed with different organisms, creating more queens, and the cycle continues. They need to kill the queen before she gives birth. The first extermination team arrives in 3 days. Okay, so do they reproduce like the aliens from Alien?
I think they just do the typical in and out and out sort of action.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, is it then parasitic? Because otherwise, how are they uptaking more genes? Do they have something similar to how the queens, like, you know, are able to get genes from eating things, but instead it's the whatever they put inside them, like, uptakes genes in the same way that the aliens from Alien do, / the aliens from Prometheus. Pretend that movie didn't happen, but yeah.
Fucking babies come out looking like fucking apples.
I just assume it's basically, like, artificial insemination with whatever species we go with, like, injecting an egg with...
I mean, I wouldn't say artificial. I'm thinking they're doing some insemination.
Oh, yeah, this is very, this very is very
natural.
natural insemination. No, a phrase I should never have said. Yeah. Now so that's recorded for
we'll
posterity.
We'll ask a fan question. What do you think a...
No.
Okay, what do you think sex looks like for the chimera ant?
I was going to say, what do you think a chimera ant dong looks like?
Actually, I've seen this. If you watch Dragon Ball Z episode 198, where Cell is absorbing Android 18...
Oh, fuck. So does that mean that Cell's been rocking out with his cock out the entire time?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you believe 100%. Most fan parodies of Dragon Ball, yes.
100%.
Yikes.
Okay, so, you know, spoilers, but, like, man, that, like, really just puts a new spin on his later relationship that I didn't think about before. But anyways.
Oh, fuck. Yikes.
Yep. Fuck yikes is right. Anyways, the ants, specifically Cult, realized that Gon's Nen attack gave Ramit powers. So Cult has Ramit punch him with Nen. it's like basically like, hey, we're the Chimera Ants and this is Jackass.
They just keep giving themselves dead arms and giving them powers.
Yeah.
It's like Cult was like, here, let me jump through fucking conclusions here. He's right, but also like, did he know that? No.
Oh my God. Yeah. Have you guys ever read like, for class, like an account of some ancient history where someone came to the right conclusion, but in a way that's like absolutely insane and does not make sense.
I can't think of it. Like.
Okay. So there were a series of Greek philosophers in like the BCs called the atomists who believed that like atoms were the fundamental unit of like, you know, matter and were indivisible. The thing is, one, they were only partially right, but two, they were held up as right in like, you know, the 1800s when people were like, wow, atoms do exist. But like, if you read their writing, the way they came to that conclusion is like absolutely insane and illogical. But like people celebrate them because like, yeah, atoms did turn out to be right. But it's like, yeah, but they were super wrong about it, though.
Well, how did they figure it out? Were they like, well, because I can't fold this paper two any more times.
It was
so
dumb
I'm assuming.
Shit like that. It's like, what if I keep breaking this rock? Eventually, it will stop breaking.
Interesting. So, like, what was, like, their theories, though? What was wrong about it?
No. The theory is not wrong. It's how they came to the conclusion that's wrong. So it's just, like, you just guess and checked and happened to be right.
Failed successfully?
Failing upward?
It's both of these things.
Is that a meme, failed successfully?
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite memes. The picture of, like, Windows, the air misses, it's, like, failed successfully.
It's like a programming meme where someone basically, I think someone was writing an error message for when something failed in a way that was like graceful, aka it doesn't take down the whole system, but it displays something that says like, oh, it failed successfully.
Got it. That makes more sense because in the just being in like a corporate world, like failing upward is definitely a thing. Just, you suck at your job, but still you get to move up.
It's a lot of execs.
Execs, executive decisions, executive.
Yeah, it's a lot of executables.
.exes.
Okay, so anyways, so Hagia, the lion man, puts on out a... Have you guys ever played Altered Beast?
No. Yeah.
I'm just imagining him as every Altered Beast character now.
It's like power up.
Power up, and then you hear... Rah. Wait, let me... Okay, anyways. Hagia, the lion man, puts a telekinetic message...
Back computer doom.
Puts out a telekinetic message for his soldier ants to stop the rares, kite, and team. A frogman gives three options. One-on-one combat, try to escape, surrender. Okay, I forget if it occurs at this point, but did the frog dude jump into the clearing to challenge them?
Yeah, he like came through like fog like Naruto.
Okay, I think the way that he jumped in, because they show his legs flex, is basically a prototype for another character who will jump in later.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
I don't think there's any like content to that. I just think one of them was practicing like, how do I show legs flexing hard?
Does he flex the legs like a frog would or nah?
Yeah, he flexes the legs like a frog would, but the other character flexes the leg and is also like in the same position.
Oh, okay.
A lot of flexing going on.
Yeah, a lot of leg flexing. Lexing. Kite uses this as a training opportunity, and Gon and Kilo are excited by this project, by this prospect. They play rock, paper, scissors to determine who goes. Not surprisingly, Gon wins because he's the rock, paper, scissors genius, baby.
It's a mind game. It's a mind game.
Yeah, it's a mind game. Remember, everyone, it's a mind game. Okay, so this is the cutest thing. A little foot soldier ant draws lots using the Shinto shrine fortune telling stick. So Megan, I know
is it a Shinto
of this...
shrine. Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Okay. I was about to ask if you knew more, but I think just give the context because I kind of know of it, but I think you might know more.
No, I think you probably do know more. I can't remember if it even is a Shinto shrine, but like I remember doing it with like my host family. We'd like shake a box and a little stick would pop out and then that would be like your lot and you pull a fortune from that little stick.
I was gonna say, did you do the one where the stick actually has a fortune, or did you do the one where the stick has a number on it and then you go to a box that has fortunes in it?
I did it that way because I think because I went to like the shrines I ended up going to tended to be like
big.
The more touristy shrines, right?
Yeah. Me too.
So it makes sense for, because there's so many people doing it, you can't like refill the sticks every day.
Exactly. What's interesting is the first time I ever encountered this, I think, was in like 1999 when I was playing a game called Super Mario Brothers Deluxe for the Game Boy Color, which was a remake of original Super Mario Brothers, but with a bunch of extra features. And you could unlock a fortune telling thing, which did this box thing. And at the time I was like, what the fuck is this? Until I got like much older.
Draw a lot.
Yeah, exactly. No, there are like that game is actually surprisingly really good. It's not just a remake. It has like a bunch of extra features like time trials and shit, which
I actually did really like that. I still think that's probably my favorite Mario music of all time, the pyramid level.
I think you're thinking of Super Mario Land.
Oh, sorry. You said Super Mario Brothers Deluxe?
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers Deluxe, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Super Mario Land is probably the best Mario game, period. Don't at me.
Wow. Anyways, that's a challenge. But yes. So, an armadillo man is up first. Gon asks how the fight ends and asks if the ants can surrender after they are beat, because Gon won't eat the ants. I guess that is what happens, but it just feels weird saying that.
Like once I know. I just summarize it.
I won't eat you, ants. It's like
I won't eat you. I mean, like they were explaining that the ants were like, we'll just feed you to the queen. And he's like, well, I will eat you, so you don't have to die.
Yeah. Necessarily. So Gon will spare them if they promise not to eat another human. They all laugh this off. And I think the armadillo says, oh, never mind. Okay, he says that later. But Gon dodges the armadillo's first attack, but the ant was able to change directions mid-roll in the second attack by using his tail. Basically, like, he's spinning around at the speed of sound, and he's got places to go. He's got to follow his rainbow, so he uses his tail to redirect himself.
There was this one part that's missing. Basically, after he does, he's chased down by a giant truck down the streets of San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah, anyways, don't look into anything we just said. The armadillo lets Gon know how funny human deaths are. And so Megan did not note this, but let me tell you, he's like, they just vomit out their fucking organs. It sounds like they're taking a big shit. How about 96?
He says, like, he specifically says, like, the runs. He says,
yeah.
He says, like, they have diarrhea. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah, someone should really weird. Just. Yeah, someone should dub him with the Squid Game foreigner voice.
Yeah, man. Why'd they have to add that to Squid Games?
Yeah, don't worry. Gon catches the armadillo's spinning attack and literally claps and crushes him with his bare hands. Okay, so I brought this up a trillion years ago when we were covering Yu Hakusho and like when Yusuke killed the doctor before Genkai brought him back to life, how big of a fucking deal that scene was. And it's just like, oh my God, Yusuke killed his first human being. This is unforgivable. This is going to change everything. Yeah. And then here, Gon just crushes the dude and it's like, who's next, bitch?
Was this his first real kill other than the other guy?
This is the first time he's killed a human being. Well, killed a sentient creature.
Yeah, because like the other times, other people finished the other guy off, like with the last guy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
To be fair, they're ants, so they don't count as people.
Okay, except this saga literally goes on to be like, wait, they're ants. They do count as people.
I don't know, man. This entire episode, this episode in like 3 minutes will basically do that.
Yeah, so I don't think this is an error. I think Togashi did this to like maybe make you think about it, but like Gon just straight up, like this dude was clearly very evil, but Gon did just kill a guy.
He should have ate him afterwards just to spite him.
That would have been really weird.
That'd be really kind of funny.
It's like he just hacks him apart like that turtle from Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you said Mechanical
this
Holocaust.
This is the second time I've heard of Cannibal Holocaust in like a month. And why? Why? Why do I keep hearing about this movie that apparently isn't very good?
I just thought of something. Do you remember in fucking Dragon Ball when like Goku definitely is getting chased by a dinosaur and then kills it and then eats its tail?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird vibe.
It really was. Man, imagine if, like, fucking Gon had just done that with the armadillo right now.
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird.
Pat has replaced his screen with just the task failed successfully thing.
Yeah.
Probably a commentary on something I said that has been edited out. Wink, wink, right, Tommy? But,
Probably.
Killua is up next. Number three calls the armadillo trash, and Gon seems angered by this. It's the disrespect for him. So this is very Kuwabara during the Saint Beast arc. Where it's just like, how could you say that about Byakko the White Tiger?
Yeah, it's your friend, right? Your friend.
Yeah, he's your buddy, right? That's your buddy, your old pal. But Kite senses a gnawing anxiety and feels like he's missing a crucial detail when charging at the Queen's Fortress. Cut to Ramit bragging about his control of Nen, and Peggy wants to research Nen. Colt indicates that Zazan said she captured a rare that's still in the storeroom. Still in the restroom. Still in the storeroom for Peggy to research. It's taking like a really long shit.
Real long.
he's getting out those human guts.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh, it's like they got their runs. Back to Killua's fight. Wow, I just realized I was doing fucking Goldar's voice. Oh, Rangers. Back to Killua's fight with Nidoking, who has hardened skin. Killua keeps hitting the exact same spot.
I thought you were about to say who is hard.
Who's nice. Hard? End of stop. Okay, goodbye.
Back to Killua's fight with Nidoking, who's hardened skin. Killua keeps hitting the exact same spot with his lightning fist and kills him easily. This is very similar to how Pikachu defeated a Rhyhorn in the anime at one point.
Is it really?
Yeah, because like Rhyhorn should not be affected by, you know, electric attacks. It's ground type, or it's rock and ground, but he shocks its horn, and it's like, its horn is like a lightning rod, you know, that thing we just made up.
Yeah.
So, Crazy Slots number two comes out, a really big scythe. It, you know, in retrospect, it's weird that number two is the scythe and not number four.
Oh, yeah, because Shinu is death. Yeah.
Yep.
Number four is the coronavirus.
Number four nice. Is that little blonde Australian kid.
What?
Couldn't name Kids
oh,
Next Door?
Oh, fucking Kids Next Door. Jesus Christ.
Oh, fuck. God
that
damn
took
it.
Me a second. Yeah. Kite says for Gon and Killua to jump in 3 seconds. And the frog explains he's experienced this sensation before, talking about the fear of imminent death, indicating he can remember his past life as a human when he was killed by an ant.
Is this the first time that we've talked about that? Or like that they've mentioned it in the show?
I think it's been strongly implied that others are resurrected ants, but this is the first time he's like, wait, I remember dying.
Cool.
Yo, which is a significant plot point in the Eternals. Anyways.
We don't talk about bad movies on this podcast, Joe, so...
That's weird. We talk about Cannibal Holocaust a lot for people who don't like it.
I don't know. I wonder that we should do a shootout. What's worse, guys, Cannibal Holocaust or The Eternals?
I mean, honestly, go ahead.
I haven't seen Cannibal Holocaust, but I'm just going to assume it's Cannibal Holocaust.
It is Cannibal Holocaust. You are correct.
Thank you.
As much as I didn't like The Eternals, it is Cannibal Holocaust.
Yikes.
But Kite goes ahead and kills everyone in one fell swoop. Kite worries that Gon feels strongly about people who don't care for their friends, inferring that if Gon interacted with an ant that cared for his friends, he'd feel different.
Imagine it's like if you say you're sorry, then I can't do anything. All is forgiven. It's like, but he killed 5,000 people. It's like, it doesn't work like that. If you're my friend, then it's all forgiven.
Low key, that's Gon.
That's Gon. Like, people have, I mean, I think we talked about it on this podcast about how he totally would have joined the Phantom Troop if Kurapika hadn't been on the wrong side of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what he's looking for in a company, right? He really wants.
You just all really care about each other.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, because he doesn't care, like, if you're a murderer, right? Obviously, he loves Killua. He really does care that Killua cares about his homies, right? Like, that he's a good kid at heart, I guess. So, like,
he
would have joined the Phantom Troop.
Yeah, he's just all about Gonbu.
Yeah, he's a Gonbu.
Doesn't make any sense betraying your Gonbu like that.
I was really about to spoil Squid Game, but anyways, continue. So, Patrick, would you mind telling us about the printed comic form of this? Are you putting a face on yourself?
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, that matches a little. I don't know who that is. I'm sure I'm supposed to know who that is, but, like, that matches a little too well.
This is terrifying. Okay, I'm taking a screenshot of this.
Stay there. Stay. Chill.
Okay, Patrick, continue while I post this.
Okay.
He's about to cry.
Where was I?
You gonna piss? You gonna come?
What the fuck is this?
Let's, Hannah, Sarah, we need you.
We need you so much.
Fuck. Where are we at? I lost my train of thought.
The manga.
Oh, the manga. Okay, sorry. I lost my train of thought there. Anyways, that kill was pretty sweet. Manga notes. Not a lot of differences that are found for me. It kind of seems it's just like maybe little variations here and there between stuff. But one of the biggest ones I did like, they had this cool piece of art of the gang as the Hanshin Tigers for some reason.
Which is a real baseball team in Japan. I thought it was like maybe not real, and then I looked up like Tigers Japanese baseball team, and like it turns out they're real. We now follow them on Twitter.
Do you really?
We're standing the Tigers now, the Diamondbacks, sorry. You're out.
Yeah, I also tagged one of our images with like their name in Japanese and hopefully got some people to find that on Instagram.
Support our podcast so we can live our lifelong dream by going to a real life Tigers game.
Man, imagine if we were invited.
That'd be pretty cool. No, better yet, we throw out the first pitch of the Hanshin Tigers baseball game.
This would make super much sense. Also, Pat, your thing is tripping me up because I keep thinking it's your real face. And I know what you look like. You look kind of nothing like this, but it also matches way too. Who is this person?
Here's my co-host from my other show.
Oh, okay.
I screenshotted it, and it was the dumbest fucking face.
You should have fucking cut out the mouth and then just started speaking through it.
No. I don't want to wear his face again.
Do it.
Anyways, continue.
Anyway, I'm going to get rid of this. This is disturbing me. There we go. In the manga, Killua fights with that guy and is not supposed to, wait. Killua's fight with the guy is not shown, and when they go back to Killua, the guy's just dead. Because the way Killua used lightning doesn't make sense, so I'm going to say they didn't have a good way to show it in the manga compared to the anime. And show that he died by lightning fingers.
Honestly, it probably would have just been a boring fight had they shown in the manga. It would have just either been them doing the snake shit again or him just like ripping the dude's heart out. It's like, yeah, we've seen this.
Snake shit. I'm down.
Oh, did they actually put up a title for his like arm attack in the anime, or was that only in the manga?
I think they mentioned the name. I couldn't remember.
Oh, okay. It was Serpent Work, which
I have
a feeling that's directly translated from Japanese because that doesn't make any sense in English.
No, I definitely, I think shit. There was definitely a black, like, it was kanji that I couldn't read on the screen when he did started doing the move. It was just like Serpent Work. And then like he starts wiggling his hands.
Yeah.
Serpent.
Wiggly arms.
Wiggly arms.
Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk.
Nice.
But anyways, yeah, I think that's about it for the notes from me. There's like not really a lot of differences, so it's like I don't know.
Yeah, it was mostly stuff that wasn't there.
Pretty much, just stuff removed. Aaron, this didn't show.
Yeah, but this continues the trend of the anime having filler that you wouldn't guess in like that like is not obvious filler, but it and it's not non-canonical. It's just like. This was implied.
Implying. Maybe. But anyways, do we want to go on to the rate those deaths and see what deaths are good, what deaths were bad, what deaths were deaths?
Okay, so we got Armadillo Man and like Rhyhorn.
Oh, and all those people.
Oh, yeah, that entire crowd. Yeah. Okay, good point. But is that everyone?
I think so.
Okay. How do you feel with the crowd?
The crowd or specifically Armadillo?
Oh, wait, the crowd slash Frogman.
I thought that was pretty sick. Like I said, I think Kite has some sick ass abilities and tactics, and I thought that was pretty sick and why people didn't duck as well. It's like, I'm surprised not one of them's like, oh, he said to duck. Why don't I duck as well? Maybe that might be a thing. They're just like standing there T-pose and we get their heads cut off.
Yeah. Another thing, I think that one was a lot cooler in the manga. Like, because they also show, like, a music staff show up. And, like, Kite's scythe is supposed to look like a musical note.
Interesting.
Oh, I see. Like, it's like that one note.
Yeah.
Griffith's naked again. I'm not liking this.
All right. Anyways, but, like, what do you rate it?
9 out of 10, because I thought it was pretty cool. And the fact that he's like, oh, I'm feeling this death. I'm dead now. Bye.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. The idea of like, oh, I'm double dead.
It's like, when did I last feel this? Oh, right, when I died last time.
Yeah. Maybe I'll feel it never next time.
Never. Oh, maybe, you know, at this point. Like,
do you think when chimera ants die, they go to hell because technically their spirits are trapped in another one?
Like, this is a vampire argument where like they're soulless individual, so
no, they have souls.
Oh,
because I assume that when they ate them, the chimera ants steal their souls, and that's why they have the stuff information.
Patrick, do they steal men's souls and make them be their slaves?
No, but they're like, your soul is mine.
Oh man,
and then they have to fight in a giant tournament of mortal
combat,
yeah,
yes,
combat.
You know, I was actually joking with my friend. I kept calling Shang-Chi Shang Tsung the entire time.
Oh, okay. Thank God that's where you went with this.
What do you think I was going to fucking say?
Megan literally just said the Combats, and I was like, are you about to talk about an Aquabats like concert you went to that went real weird?
Scott, insert Scott drums here. But no, I kept, for some reason, for the longest time, I kept calling Shang-Chi Shang Tsung, and I just thought that was a funny image in my head. But yeah, that's my view. What do you guys think on the deaths of all the peeps?
Right, that's what we're talking about. I really liked it. And like, I think for me, it's like a solid 7, I think. I really like that, like, the guy remembered his last death. And I think 7 is like 7 highly, considering like this kind of, these deaths don't really have to do with the plot, and they kind of abandoned the one by one fight thing that they were going with. Like, he's like, I'm tired of this, goodbye, everyone's dead now.
Later.
So like, I think it's like a 7, maybe a 6 if I like really like, if I'm nitpicking at it, right? But I liked it. I liked how it shows how strong Kite is, like, just real quick, one swipe, done. But yeah, that's it. Kills a whole fucking genocides a whole group of people.
I mean, that's normal Friday.
So for Kite.
So for me, it's 7 out of 10 manga, 6 out of 10 anime. Mostly the same reasons that Megan said. I really like the twice killed frog. My R. favorite R. delicacy.
Is that a Filipino delicacy?
We don't have frogs that we eat, I don't think. Or do we? I don't know. I've never eaten a frog in the Philippines.
I've never eaten a frog in Filipino cuisine. Yeah, but that is interesting. Actually, yeah, I wonder
are there
how
frogs?
Many... Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder how many frogs there are in the Philippines. I don't I feel like how I, many yeah. frogs are there in the Philippines? If someone could tell us the exact count of how many frogs are in the Philippines, we're going to send you some mummy paper.
Not toilet paper, mummy paper.
I'm and by that, I mean some toilet paper I've wrapped around a salami, which is something that we talked about before we recorded, which partially explains why this episode is the way it is.
I'm going to send you illegal Nintendo ROMs. Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Okay. So Rhyhorn.
Rhyhorn, that's the name of the Pokemon I was thinking of.
More like Rhyhorny, am I right?
I'm gonna give it, you know what? I'm gonna give this one a low rating just because, like, cool. Like, I like Killua showing off, like, he's striking, like, a very specific part of a body to break through a hard shell, right? But, like little to no impact. I don't even think the guy had a name. Like, at least the Frogman had the name Frog. I don't even think this guy
his
had a name.
Dead as fuck.
And then Armadillo was Borrow. Yeah, his name is dead as fuck. And it happened real quick. I like Killua. I like his kills. This one seemed pretty, like, passive. It was just like it was Pikachu.
So wait, what number did you give it?
I gave it like a 4.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah.
Go ahead.
I just say it's completely forgettable for me. It's like maybe like a 2 out of 10. Didn't really strike.
I think my immediate instinct, I'm going to say 2 out of 10.
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't stick out to me, at least. But
okay. Barrow.
But I did like Armadillo, man. I like that one because it was just so fucking brutal.
It is Gon's first kill, technically.
Probably 7 out of 10.
Wait. Imagine. Okay, I got a proposal. So I think also, you know, like 7 or 8. But I'm not even going to elaborate why. But what would you rate it if, when crushing the guy, Gon said, "Who's shitting now?"
That would have been pretty funny.
That'd be a 10 out of 10. Maybe an 11, just because it's so out of character that I'd love it. Like, it's just one of those.
Is that a Bruce Lee Bruce Lee picture in the background, Joe?
What?
Oh. Is that a Bruce Lee?
Yeah, it is. Oh. At first, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, those are driver's licenses for some reason. Those are the driver's licenses of Joe's kills.
Yeah, that's all the drivers that cut him off.
Yeah, you know, I was driving and I was like, who's shitting now?
Exactly. And then he flipped him the bird and drove off in his Tesla.
Oh, wait, real quick. Have you guys seen the movie Death Race?
Yeah.
I've heard of it. Wait, hold on. What is that one again?
Jason Statham is in a prison where he is forced to drive.
That's not a joke.
That's not a joke.
I know it isn't. I think I remember this. It's one of those, like, oh, it's a Gladiator style. Like, no,
it's a way better movie than people, I think, give it credit for, because I don't think people get that it was a comedy.
Oh, it's supposed to be a comedy?
Oh, it's a fucking comedy if you watch it.
I need to rewatch it now because, like, you can't. That was marketed, I swear, at least
as
in my
an
brain.
Action movie.
As an action, very serious, like, very.
It's not serious at all. Like, I was, like, about to say, without explaining any further context, there's literally a scene where someone says, oh, we're going to see who's the first one to shit on the sidewalk, and then they just cut to something else, and I'm like, what the fuck is this movie?
What is this movie?
What is it? It's Death Race. That's the movie. I also give 7, 8 out of 10. Won't need to explain.
It's a Death Race.
I like Death Race. I like Death Racing.
But yeah.
Dick Grayson? Death
yeah,
Grayson?
Dick Grayson. Death Grayson.
Dick Grips.
Let it Dick Rips.
Let it Dick
Rips. Tommy, I'm so sorry for this episode. But anyways, were there anyone else die during this episode?
Besides everyone else, no.
Besides 100 people, probably.
Oh, man. I listened to this other...
The little, my favorite little guy who's giving the fortunes.
Oh,
I was weirdly
there was a guy who was
that.
Wait, the frog dude or like the ant who was just an ant?
The ant who was just an ant who didn't talk and was just passing out fortunes.
Yeah, that guy is like a cute, forgettable character. Man, someday when we're done with the series, we should have a countdown of like top five cute, forgettable characters.
We're watchmojo.com.
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah, let's just like start making a clickbait
number
podcast.
One. What's his name? That little kid. The one that they train and that he's never mentioned again.
Oh, Wimp Low.
Yeah, Wimp Low.
But yeah, they trained him wrong.
On purpose. Yeah,
joke.
Wimp Low.
No. You mean Zushi.
Yeah, Zushi, you know, with the Wang Chung.
Wang Chung tonight.
Exactly.
Wait, Megan, I forget. Have you seen JoJo yet?
No, I still haven't seen JoJo. There's
legitimately a Chinese character named Wing Chun.
Oh, yeah. You guys were telling me that Wang they're named Chun. After music, yeah. Like American music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
American and British.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm slowly recreating Joe's room.
I noticed.
In this.
You gotta get, like, did you get a cabinet? Like, the wooden with his, like, files
I got the lamp right now. I'm adding the lamp in.
Patrick is making a ransom note version of my room.
It's at the point, his screen is so filled up with random images that it feels like Pat himself is a random image. Like he is just a clip.
Okay, you know how we've talked about doing a video podcast like once? I think this is a strong argument we either should or a strong argument we fucking should never do that.
You probably shouldn't.
I still need to edit the time we all went drinking together in a room to do the drunk tournament. And I still have that video on my camera and my computer, and I still need to edit it together. It's gold.
You need to use deepfakes to put different faces on our heads.
Just constantly.
And just have me be like, hey, I vote on 69 to die.
Why not? No, but I would honestly like it if that tape got out there eventually. We just send it out as a VHS to patrons.
We call it the Black.
Chapter Black.
Chapter Black, yeah.
No, yeah, Chapter Blackout. That's perfect. You're right.
Chapter Blackout! Oh, man. So any final thoughts on the episodes, guys, that we technically watched, but we probably spent most of the time not talking about?
I'm going to tell the audience that before we started recording this episode, I legitimately said to the other two, hey, guys, I need to study for job interview, so I'm going to keep my mouth fucking shut for this episode mostly. Turns out I'm a fucking liar. But anyways, that's my thoughts.
Honestly,
it happened 2 minutes in. Not even. 30, the second word any of us said, it happened.
Yeah. This is an interesting episode. I think we can learn a lot about each other, and we learned a lot about our needs as people.
Mm-hmm. And we learned a lot about you, fans.
Yeah,
of
we
this
learned
podcast.
We learned a lot about you. I think that we understood you as people and us as people, and you know, we need to you know, live and let die. When you were young and your heart was an open book, you say live and let live.
Mm-hmm. Live, laugh, love.
Yeah, and in this crazy world in which we live in, we need to give in and cry. So we
oh my
gotta
God,
live and
Jesus
let
Christ,
die.
What are you posting now? Oh.
Who is shitting now?
Everyone, like this entire podcast has been a shit post. If anybody's still listening, I give you props because I probably would have stopped listening halfway through.
You know what? If you've listened to this to the end of this, let us know because I will send you a toilet paper.
She'll just send you a sheet of toilet paper.
Just a sheet of toilet. Maybe I'll make an ornament like I made them for Christmas. If you get to this point, let me know. I'll make you an ornament for Christmas.
I still got that. I'm going to hang that up next year.
That'd be pretty sick.
Hell yeah. Merry or not Christmas, whatever holiday you celebrate.
We all celebrate Kwanzaa now.
We all understand the true meaning of Kwanzaa.
I thought we probably
I don't think anyone really understands Kwanzaa.
I thought we celebrated the States. Feast of Elvis though.
Huh?
I thought we celebrated the Feast of Elvis.
The Feast of the Chipmunk?
No. This was an episode you were not on, Megan.
Okay, great.
This is an episode where we were joined by Festival Hardbody.
What's that?
He is one of the sometimes hosts of Impossible Coin.
Okay. Wait, his name is Festival Hardbody?
Yeah, he sometimes just hijacks the mic from one Brian Cartwright, who is the normal host of Impossible Coin.
Oh, got it.
Man, yeah, they've also recently had a vampire on named Baron Bob Tepish.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Hey guys, good news.
Like
Bayonet is still running though.
Huh?
Bayonet is still running, guys.
Bayonet?
Bayonetta. It's
wow,
a bad
I'm surprised
game.
You don't know Bayonetta. That seems like something that I think you would like if you had ever played it.
Oh, I can't play video games. I get too motion sick. Is it like a side scroller or?
No, it's like a 3D beat 'em up, but like it stars like a sexy witch. Who,
ooh.
Like, yeah, and she, like, fights angels, and it uses Fly Me to the Moon as one of its main themes.
You know what? It's kind of like
an English accent.
It's kind of like a certain ant towards the end of the Chimera Ant arc.
Oh, yeah, it is. Because she uses, like, hair as her weapons
oh,
the way that
oh.
ant does.
I got you.
She also is kind of like, hey, what if like a, I think a lesbian character designer remade Sarah Palin as a British woman?
I see it now.
Fly me to the moon.
Oh, man. I have been playing Hades a lot. I love Hades. Speaking of hot, unnecessarily hot, like video game characters,
I think there's a lot of daddies in that game.
Oh, that is daddy central.
I was ringing my doorbell. I'm gonna check that. I'll be right back.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the daddies in Hades?
I do.
Hades a daddy. Hermes a daddy. Zeus is a daddy.
Everyone's a fucking daddy in that game.
Thanatos is a daddy. I don't care.
I need to finish that game. Okay.
We should all play that one game that's like the daddy's game. It's like the daddy sim.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe that'll be a good. That'll be a good.
But yeah, okay. Joe, we all agreed that the next stream we're going to do is play the daddy sim.
So, I was going to say, we've definitely done a number of off-topic episodes. Let's do one for the end of the year. It could be fun. Honestly, if we all got together and played like a Dream Daddy or something like that, that could be fun.
I think that'd be great because it's like I think we'd all enjoy playing the I think Sarah or Hannah has played that game though. Like
yeah, I think one of them has
on serious. I don't know, but I think one of them has actually played that game.
Yeah, so we could totally do that. Yeah, yeah. But that we should probably
actual dads.
It's about actual dads, yeah.
But like not your dad. It's like about
it's not about your dad. It's, there's another game. Well, no, like not the main character's dad. There's like another game that is about that though, Megan, called Shower with Your Dad Simulator.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Is that real? Yeah,
that's real. We're never playing it.
No, we are not. Oh no. Oh
guys,
my God. That's
guys, we got to get serious now. This podcast
it's
is
actually not
podcast.
As bad as you think, but it's not good.
We're serious group.
Yeah, we're a serious podcast. You guys need to take this very more seriously.
We're taking it seriously, guys.
All
right. Are we ending the podcast now that we're taking it serious?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. We're going to go like, more off topic.
We're never going to end. We're going to go on forever.
Okay, Megan, just take the wheel. Take the fucking wheel.
I'm Jesus. I'm taking it.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening to the Spirit Hunters and this mess of an episode. Please hit us up with questions, requests, or just a chat on our Facebook or Twitter at Spirit Hunter Pod. Heads up, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/Spirit Hunter Pod, and join our patron only Discord where we'll be discussing the shit out of Hunter, UU, and much more. Speaking of Discord, if you want in but you don't have the funds, you can help us by giving us a written review on Apple Podcasts. Send us a link, your Discord username, and enough evidence to connect them both to you, and we got you. Each review gets a surface to tens or hundreds more people.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Depending on whether I have time after this recording, I might be doing a patron requested research segment that we'll edit in. Otherwise, it will be coming next week. The reason I bring this up is as like a patron of a certain tier, I forget what level it is, but you can check on our Patreon. You do get to request research, and I'm going to be fulfilling some of those requests coming up. So if there's like something that you're dying to know about Hunter x Hunter or hopefully none of the dumb shit we talk about, but I guess you could technically ask us about that. Like we could do some research into it.
You want to know about daddies and the history behind why this is now a topic? Go for it. Joe will research that for you.
I guess I could.
He promises
top 10 daddies, number one.
Yeah, you want us to do a ranking list of the top 10 daddies in the Togashi universes?
Top
we 10 got
daddies
you.
Crew. Number one, Walt Wolfen. Number two.
Wait, who?
Wolfen. Number two, that crab guy. Number three.
What crab guy?
Number three, Kuwabara's dad who only shows up in the manga.
He has a dad?
Yes, he does. He seemingly doesn't have a mom.
Number four is Genkai.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I agree. She's Foxy Grandma.
Foxy Grandma. But finally, today's intro and outro themes were made by Rifty Beats and Lightest Daily. I'm butchering these. Rifty Beats and Lightest Daylion? DeLeon? DeLeon. Is it?
I'm not sure. I've only ever seen it printed. He gave us permission to use it, but I never asked, like, hey, how do we pronounce your name?
Thanks, Lightest and Rifty. Yeah. We appreciate you. but check out them both out on YouTube. Rifty Beats is spelled RIFTI and then beat. And then Lightest is LIGHTUS space DALEON, respectively. And then big ass shout out to Tommy. yeah, whatever, he's fine. You edit your podcast, we appreciate you, blah 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 blah.
We love you, Tommy. See you on
the- two of you, most of us love you.
Most of us.
Most of us.
That sounded really
one
sad.
One of these people don't love you, and it's me, your fiance.
Yikes.
No, I love you. Stay with me, please. Thank you. See you on the other side.
Later.
Wow. Okay, see ya.
Bye.
Wow.
Thank you.